Our sixth case for today is United States against Spann. Mr. Fine.
May it please the court, Ms. Morrissey, counsel for the government. In this case, the district court imposed a procedurally unreasonable sentence because it failed to provide an adequate explanation for the sentence it selected, and in so doing, failed to promote the perception of fair sentencing. District courts must justify with adequate explanations the sentence they select for a given defendant. An adequate explanation is one supported by reasons, not conclusions, but independent justifications, presumably supported by facts in the record. In this case, the district court cited three claims to explain the sentence it selected, but neither individually nor in the aggregate do they adequately explain the 97-month sentence selected in this case, which was at the high end of the guideline range available for Mr. Spann. In the words of the district court, Mr. Spann's crime was very serious, quote, very serious. In addition, Mr. Spann, quote, never had a serious penalty, and Mr. Spann helped, quote, injure people all over the area.
So what your argument is really about is actually how fulsome the explanation has to be. Those are all appropriate points for a district court to take into account under 3553. And he's ticked off, you know, the seriousness of the crime and the other things that you mentioned. He doesn't then go on to expand on each one of those when counsel asks him to do so, but where is his duty to do that? I mean, he's indicated sort of which factor and how it seems to weigh.
So I think that your point, Your Honor, is that he's given reasons. I agree he's given reasons, but you need more than reasons. You need an adequate explanation, which is a good reason supported by facts in the record. The claim that the crime was very serious, there's no fact cited at all anywhere in the judge's comments that would distinguish Mr. Spann's crime from any other heroin offense, whether within the same guideline range or outside that guideline range, to make it more or less serious.
But we have the record. We know it's a heroin offense with 753 grams of heroin. The pre-sentence report undoubtedly goes through that. Does he really have to say, and by the way, I think heroin offenses of significant quantities, not user quantity for sure.
I think in this case he does, because in fact what you just indicated is that the only facts discussed relative to the seriousness of the offense were the drug was the drug quantity. The drug quantity was 753 grams of heroin.
And it's heroin. I mean, the drug type.
Of course.
This is not,
the guidelines,
you know,
take all that into the guidelines take all this into account, and Mr. Spann received an offense level of 30 as a result of that drug quantity.
And this is a within-guidelines sentence. So this is basically a statement by the judge that I agree with the guidelines assessment of these issues.
Well, I don't know that that's
summarily
true. I don't know that's true for the following reason, because the range of the quantity range that would apply to an offense level of 30 is 700 grams to 1,000 grams. So if you're going to simply rely on the drug quantity, the fact of the matter is the 750 grams is closer to the low end of the range rather than the high end. It does nothing to explain why the sentence is more serious than any other sentence within that same guideline range. It's simply a conclusion and a bald assertion that has no explanatory value under the facts of the case. Second, and the court indicated that Mr. Spann had never had a serious penalty before. Again, that is a reason, but it's just simply not a particularly good reason or one that has explanatory power on the facts. That same argument could be made to justify a lower sentence. Mr. Spann has never had a severe penalty. 78 months is a sufficient penalty. Nothing more is needed. 78 months is 6.5 years for somebody who's never served a day of prison before.
But, and, you know, I mean, he says this, and in context, it seems to me, he's saying it's time to give him the message. You know, this is a serious crime, and maybe he doesn't take it seriously enough. He needs a sentence of 97 months to...
Well, I think the court can fill in the blanks like that, but Judge Steele did not, and I will say this as well.
But a fair inference. I mean, I don't see where you would draw the inference that a low sentence is appropriate because he hasn't been there before. Judge Steele is trying to say why I think 97 months is right. Well, again, I mean, you could imagine a legal regime under which district courts are required to file 20-page statements after the sentence every time. Our law has not gone that far. We've tried to be realistic about what the burden is on the district judges when these are, as Judge Sykes points out, within guideline sentences. They're not something that's really pushing the envelope any particular way.
Well, I think there's a difference between a 20-page memorandum and an adequate explanation that informs a defendant who is about to serve 19 more months in prison than he'd otherwise serve why he must serve that extra time, as Mr. Spann must.
But it's not extra time. The judge is entitled to come down anywhere within the range or outside the range. But
he is.
If he comes down within the range, that sentence we defer to in a significant way.
Well, in a substantive way, but this is procedural reasonableness we're talking about. In this
right,
case,
and we don't require a lengthy procedure, as a matter of procedure, a lengthy explanation of a within-guideline sentence.
An adequate explanation. And in this case, under the guidelines already contemplate those very facts because he had two prior convictions.
Mr. Right, and he's saying he agrees with it. So, you know, he's entitled to do that summarily if he's issuing a within-guideline sentence.
Here's why I think
he doesn't have to offer a lengthy justification of the point within the range that he lands on.
Because of the format of the criminal history category, the explanation he provides, the reason, the claim he makes, has very little explanatory power, and here is why.
Would it be much better if he had just said, I agree with the assessment of the Sentencing Commission about the appropriate sentence for this man? Because that's what, as Judge Sykes again has said.
No, because there's a range. There's a range there. And just to say I agree with the commission is to say what point in that range you're concluding is appropriate.
So you think each point in the range, each month, needs to be separately justified?
Well, under Gall, I believe it says even a within-guideline sentence must be adequately explained on the record. So the selection of the point within that range must be explained. It doesn't need a 20-page memorandum, but an individual should understand why he received or she received the sentence she did, in fact, received from a district court judge.
Well, he doesn't have any explanation, does he?
No, and in fact, when pushed at the very end of the case, the judge
he got angry with you, right?
He did, and he said
yes,
to me, the defendant
furious.
Earned it. That
yes.
is not an appropriate response.
This is the first time in my life anyone has asked me why I imposed a penalty.
I find that...
he got angry with you.
He did, and...
impertinence.
That's acceptable. If I could come back to the point on the criminal history... Mr. Spann had two prior convictions. One was a misdemeanor possession of marijuana for which he had no time. He got a fine. The other was a possession of felony case for which possession of a heroin case for which he received 1 year of probation. At the age of 17, he had a trespass. He got no points on that. The criminal history category gives him 1 point for each of those. It takes those priors into account. And because he had small sentences on them, he only got 1 point on each. Even if you counted the trespass, you'd have 3 points and still fall in criminal history category 2. Criminal history category 2 occupies a large territory. Individuals with one prior murder, one prior rape, one prior kidnapping all would fall into that same category. In addition, an individual with one of those kinds of serious prior offenses might have non-countable prior offenses that were equally as serious. Say that Mr. Spann's two minor prior convictions now warrant a severe penalty, given that format does not provide an adequate explanation as to why 78 was not sufficiently severe and 97 alone was.
Was that argument made to the judge?
That argument is embedded in the structure of the guidelines, Your Honor.
But was the argument that the criminal history overstates the seriousness of his crime?
I was not saying that criminal
history... Or overstates the seriousness of his record.
I wasn't saying that either. What I was saying is that criminal history category 2 occupies...
I understand
territory.
That's what you're saying now, but I'm asking what was argued to
no,
the judge.
No, it was not. That comment was not made to the judge.
Then he can hardly be... expected to come up with it on his own if the argument isn't being made that the criminal history score overstates the seriousness of his record and he deserves some discounting for that, either within or below the range.
I'm not saying the judge is required to respond to that. I'm saying that the judge's claim that because he had no prior penalty before is insufficient given the framework of the guidelines. The judge himself understands he'd been sitting there for longer than I've been practicing law. So no, he didn't need to respond to the argument, but to just say he'd never had a severe penalty before, given that framework and that understanding, is not an adequate explanation. Is it an explanation? Yes. But is it adequate? No. Lastly, the judge
How
says...
How old was the defendant when he was sentenced?
To the instant case?
Yeah.
28 years old, Your Honor. In addition, the judge says that Mr. Spann helped injure people all over the area. Factually, wholly...
I'm sorry, what? I didn't hear you.
Judge Steele indicated that defendant Roy Spann had helped injure people all over the area. Presumably he meant by this through distribution of heroin.
Right.
Factually unsupported by the record. In fact, the PSR indicates there were no victims. There was nothing in the PSR or in the record evidence that indicated he had ever distributed.
The judge is making a statement about the consequences of the heroin trade in general.
He's providing
empirical factual support in a sentencing proceeding.
But there was no evidence that Mr. Spann had ever distributed heroin before. So to
the
say
fact
that's the
that he
reason
was
I'm
distributing
giving you
a significant
sentence.
Quantity in this case is sufficient to support that statement by the judge.
It is not sufficient. It is not an adequate explanation for a higher sentence to say you injured other people when in fact you did not. Now, if the judge has said heroin injures people and you could have injured people, maybe that would be a reasonable claim to make. However, even if
what
he said that...
What he was doing was helping to injure people all over the area. That's completely unassailable as a justification
well, it's not
for
supported,
a sentencing
but it
within the guidelines.
The record doesn't indicate he injured anybody.
Okay. We can accept that the heroin trade injures people, and the judge is entitled to make that sort of a statement to justify a within-guideline sentence and elaborate on how seriously he takes the crime.
The judge is entitled to conclude that heroin injures people. Anybody is entitled to make that conclusion. However, to give that as the reason for a higher sentence in this case...
It's not a reason for a higher sentence. He's offering an explanation for why he's taking the crime seriously and coming down on a within-guideline sentence.
Okay, but given that reasoning, then the next individual who has 780 grams is going to get an upward departure.
We don't parse things that finely when we're evaluating sentencing rationales.
Well,
we just don't. I mean, your argument, if taken to its logical extreme, would invalidate lots and lots of sentences, both in the federal and state system.
Well, that may be more of an unfortunate comment on the explanations that are given to defendants than my argument today. That seems to me...
No, you're asking too much.
I think...
If you're going to focus on specifically that statement, a statement that heroin trafficking injures people, by contributing to the heroin trafficking trade in this case, that's what he was
saying. If I don't focus on that, all I have left is the defendant earned it. And that is no explanation at all. I'm trying to give the judge the benefit of the doubt and find at least three claims he made to support the sentence that he selected. But it's very difficult to do so. That might be one that he could rely on. But I would argue that that alone is not an adequate explanation. I'm out of time.
Yes, Ms. Morrissey. Again, welcome back.
Your Honors, may it please the Court, Mr. Fine. What I would like to direct the Court's attention to, what is most important here, is that the arguments advanced by the defendant here were not advanced in the district court below.
But isn't that because the district court, he starts to try to say, Your Honor, you know, why this sentence? And the judge cuts him off. Peremptorily, you know, just choose him out for asking, I don't intend to engage in a debate with you today about the sentence I imposed. So it's an unattractive factual setting for either waiver or forfeiture, certainly not waiver, but forfeiture as well, when the attorney is plainly trying to initiate a conversation that would then move into, you know, why this factor, why that, and the judge says, we are not having that conversation, and in fact you're being inappropriate to ask for it.
Judge, if I may, I think the conversation, the statement the judge makes at the end of this lengthy sentencing hearing has to be viewed in context. The entire gist of the defendant's argument up till the very last couple pages of his argument was directed at the government's request for an upward departure.
Right, and then finally Mr. Fine says, this is page 47 of the sentencing transcript. So he's announced his sentence, 97 months, and he says, Your Honor, I do have a question. Mm-hmm. The court has elected to sentence Mr. Spann to the high end of the guideline range, and what I heard you say is the offense is serious because of heroin. I'm curious why the high end rather than the low end. And the judge says, you're asking me why? He says, I am, Your Honor. And the judge says, I'm not prepared for this question. You know, he earned it. I don't intend to engage in a debate with you. So I just, it seems to me we can reach the merits of this. I think that's a decent effort by counsel to try to put this on the record.
I have no problem with Mr. Fiennes having asked the judge, but what I do have a problem with is that the gist of Mr. Fiennes' argument was it ought to be a guideline sentence, not an above-guideline sentence. That his in his 30, I think it was some 32 pages of argument.
You see how that justifies the judge's peremptory response, which I think is an embarrassment to the federal judiciary for a judge to be talking that way. This is a judge saying, I just do things because I do them, right? I don't give reasons. No one's ever asked me for a reason.
Well,
I just do it.
Judge,
that's not a proper way for a judge to talk.
Your Honor, Judge Posner, I practiced in front of Judge Steele for 24 years, and I don't believe at all that Judge Steele said it in the manner that is suggested. My understanding of what happened is after the judge agreed with the defendant and denied the government's motion for an upward departure, selected a within-guideline sentence, and then for the first time was asked about the point in the guideline sentence he picked.
But we encourage counsel to do that. We've written opinions that say, don't leave the record up in the air, ask the question, give the judge a chance to respond. And the judge basically says, I'm not going to talk to you about it.
The judge said, I'm not here to debate with you why I picked
the judge is required, before giving a guideline sentence, to conform his sentence choice to the 3553A sentencing factors, which he refused to do.
Your Honor, I don't think he refused to do that at all. He did cite the 3553 factors in choosing a guideline sentence and saying he denied the government's motion for an upward departure and he found that the guidelines provided a sufficient sentence is
but
what he
a
said.
But there's a range for the guidelines. Is 63 sufficient? Is 97 sufficient? 85? I mean, it matters to people. The Supreme Court reversed this court's jurisprudence some years back when we said you couldn't show ineffectiveness of counsel by making a sentencing guidelines mistake because we said, oh, you know, what's a few months among friends? And the Supreme Court said, actually, it matters to people whether
yes.
they spend as much as an extra day in prison. So they reversed us.
I don't take in.
So
I'm certain that Mr. Spann would
applies here too, right?
Yes, I'm certain that Mr. Spann would have preferred the 78-month sentence. No,
of course,
question
and
about
he's
that.
Asking why is 97 the right number?
And I believe the judge, if I understand the context, said something like, you know, gee, no one's really ever asked me. Why in this range? And I think
Which
it did take
the
court.
Range, but a lot of judges will say, I decided to give you the high end. I rejected the government's motion for an upward adjustment. But I thought the upper end of the range was the next best, you know, the closest to that while still staying proportional, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I could imagine a speech, but we didn't get it.
Well, he did come back. He said, I was not prepared for your question. Judge Steele is a gentleman to appear in front of. He's polite to everyone, and I don't think this was in any way intended to be rude or dismissive to counsel. But he comes back, and he says, the reason I imposed that penalty was that the defendant earned it. He'd conducted serious crime.
I made a very good point. He said that what the judge had just said that he meaning the defendant, had conducted, not great English, but he had conducted a very serious crime, one that had not only has injured him, so would you recommend a victim enhancement? Do you have another victim? That would really multiply sentences nicely, wouldn't it? If you treat the defendant as a victim of his own crime, we'll leave that outside.
Well, I think he was.
But would have caused injury to other people by the use of that drug? Maybe yes, maybe no. Okay. So then Fine says, That would be true of all offenders charged, you know, just like him with a heroin offense. So any offender with heroin would have the same potential for danger, so all offenders would be sentenced to the high end. Now that's a good logical point. So you could imagine the judge responding, no, I don't automatically sentence all heroin dealers to the high end of the guidelines. But in this case, given his age, given X, Y, and Z, I do think it should be above the minimum. And that would be fine, right? That would be fine. He doesn't have to give a speech. That would be fine. He didn't do that.
Well, I think...
Instead he says, I won't debate. I don't intend to engage in a debate with you today.
Right.
In other words, I don't intend... You just made a good point, but I don't intend to respond to it.
I don't intend to...
Because I do what I do. I don't think about it or anything. No?
Well, I'm...
I don't explain myself.
What I think, I'm not... I'm here to defend the judge's statements. I think throughout the record...
I don't know why you're here to defend the judge's...
But I think I keep going...
I think it puts the Justice Department and the judiciary in a very bad light. Arbitrary sentencing. Unexplained.
That's... Why you're the judge and I'm not. That's your. I understand that you know you may think that. I think in the light of the record as a whole, Your Honor, given what was being argued by the defendant below, which was strictly why this 180-month sentence the government wanted.
Well, you
not
can understand
judge.
Why that would be the primary focus, right? That's terrifying.
I think that certainly.
But that doesn't mean you. That doesn't mean you. You forfeit your opportunity to argue once you're back down into the guidelines.
No, Judge Mr. Fine did then say why he thought the low end was appropriate. He picked two reasons. He said the absence of violence, and the amount was toward the lower end of the amounts for this range. Those were the two reasons below that the defendant raised for a low end sentence. The judge had already rejected both of those reasons.
And that all happened much earlier in the sentencing
hearing,
as I understand this transcript. I mean, the focus of this hearing before sentence was pronounced was on defeating your request for 180 months.
Right. Right.
And that was the center of gravity in this
yes.
Sentencing hearing, and that's where all the emphasis was placed.
It was.
And the judge rejects that sentence,
yes.
Announces his sentence, explains it in general terms, and then asks what I presume is a customary question for him, any reason why I shouldn't impose this sentence that I've just mm-hmm. pronounced and explained. And it's sort of like the, you know, statement at a wedding. Anybody have an objection? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Nobody expects a positive answer to that, except Mr. Fine came up with a positive answer and said, yes, I do object, and here's why.
Yes,
and think that's why the judge was surprised. That's how I interpret this.
That's exactly how I interpret it.
Well, he just said
too.
An explanation. He didn't actually object to the 97 months. He said, I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious why the high end rather than the low end.
Mm-hmm.
And he... So I don't take that... I mean, he's then pushing it in this little bit of an exchange that exists, but he's asking for an explanation because, of course, there is appellate review, for better or for worse, of sentences, and courts of appeals look at the reasons given, so that's probably a reason to put it on the record. Not saying don't do it, but, you know, why is the first question.
Right, and it was all, and I would say, too, it was unfair to the judge and caught him off guard because up to that point, the defendant had only raised two reasons for a low-end sentence. Those had already been rejected by the court. The judge had already said that the seriousness of the crime outweighs the fact that there was no violence.
But this is the same point that Fine was trying to ask about. That suggests everybody gets the top of the guideline range.
Well, I
or why not the middle? I mean, maybe the judge rejects low-end rationale, but... Unless you're prepared to say that it really doesn't make any difference from a legal point of view whether you have 85 months or 97, which I don't think would be sustainable as a matter of law, understanding the judge's thinking is hardly an outrageous request.
No, but again, had he been arguing for the last hour that the low end was appropriate for all these reasons, And the judge, you're
answering a different question, I think, than the one he's asking. He's saying, I need your reasons for 97. Just please give me your reasons.
Well,
then maybe here he would say, I think those are bad reasons. I'm not going to go.
But as Judge Sykes said, the judge is only really put on notice to respond to the reasons raised by the defendant. And he had done that. He had responded to the two reasons given by the defendant for the low-end sentence. So, you know, the judge isn't, I don't know that he had to come up with anything in addition to that on things that had not even been raised by the defendant.
Well, that's because you had thrown in 180 months. So that becomes the focus. Now you have a new gimmick, right? Make some ridiculous charge and execute the guy or something like that. And then get everybody focused on that. And then you will discourage the defendant's lawyer from objecting to a mere 8-year sentence.
Well, I think that I don't think it's really fair to say that the government was using a gimmick when it requested.
You really wanted a 15-year sentence.
Mr. Lee did, and he presented his arguments for that. I think, too, Judge, you know, that there are other reasons that even weren't identified by Mr. Lee that are in the pre-sentence report. I can't say that Mr. Lee's request was outside the bounds of reason. That was his request.
What did the pre-sentence report or the sentencing recommendation recommend?
The pre-sentence report was 78 to 97 months. So Mr. Lee's recommendation was about double that.
Okay. Any further questions?
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Morrissey. I think your time ran out, Mr. Fine. I'll give you one more minute if you promise to stick to it.
Despite the brief you have in front of you, I tried to generally. Just for some context, the memorandum that was filed by the government requesting 180 months was filed the Friday before sentencing at 4:50 in the afternoon. So there was no time to continue the case, no time for me to prepare a memorandum. And, of course, that's why the focus of my argument was on that astonishing 180-month sentence. And that's why I put together exhibits to bring the court to file in connection with the arguments I made orally there. There's a difference between the explanation a defendant is due to inform him why he received a sentence, even if that sentence is within the guideline range, and a judge's response to the arguments advanced for whatever sentence defense counsel may believe is appropriate. The judge may or may not have adequately responded to my arguments for whatever sentence, but he did not adequately explain the sentence to Mr. Spann, the reason he selected the sentence that he did, and he did not, in the process, promote fair sentencing.
All right. Thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not, Mr. Fine? We appreciate your efforts on behalf of your client and for the court, and thanks as well to the government.